That's my cue. All right. I'll call this meeting to order of the board of directors meeting, regular meeting. Let's start with this flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Maybe we have a roll call, please, Laura.
Director Sesenia,
I'm here.
Director Cross,
Here.
Director Hubbard, Vice President Fourcroy,
I'm here.
President Womack.
Present. Okay. Public safety reports. Do we have fire department online?
We do not, but we do have both the sheriff and CHP online.
All right, let's start with the sheriff then.
Good evening, Commander Boss here at the Sheriff's Office. Looking at our call statistics for the month of September, we had a total of 471 calls, which is a little up from 421 from the prior year. Of note were 56 preventative patrol activities, 39 enforcement stops, and 33 suspicious circumstances calls. That is all I have, unless anybody else has anything for me.
Any questions from the board?
Not here.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
California Highway Patrol report.
One moment. I think I have them in here twice. I'm just trying to figure out which one.
Oh, do we have many?
All right, James, I have it where you just have to unmute yourself. It looks like the one you just logged in with does not have a microphone attached, but the original one does. I'm not sure if you can hear me or not.
We'll give him another minute.
Oh, we can hear you now, James.
All right.
Wonderful. There's a lot of feedback on my end.
It might be your computer because it shows you logged in twice, though. You might want to just mute your speakers.
Can you hear me now?
There you go.
Perfect.
Yes.
Wonderful. Sorry about that, guys. I always have an issue with this, so it seems to show up twice. Trying to log into that. So my apologies on that.
Glad we
We
have you
had,
now.
I am too. We had three crashes to report. Unfortunately, Ralph's parking lot was a hot topic during the month of September. There was a hit and run in that parking lot. We kept working with Ralph's trying to get the security camera footage of that, but we're unsuccessful in that. So we'll continue to follow up with that vendor, meaning Ralph's, to see what security measures they have, and hopefully we can obtain that security camera footage. Another individual backed into another parked car at the Ralph's parking lot, which caused a crash. And then the last crash was on Ash east of Pine Street, when an individual was backing out of their driveway and into the neighbor's yard. And ultimately was able to, no injuries, fortunately, on that, and we were able to take care of that. Last month, I reported there was an individual that was driving down Los Sosos Valley Road and was, rather aggressive with individuals, cutting them off, forcing them off the road. We went and paid a visit to his house and contacted an individual there and let them know that this behavior continues and we're going to start trying to seek prosecution on it. So fortunately, this month, we haven't had any issues or anybody calling that in. So we view that as a success. Other than that, that's all I have, unless you guys have anything.
All right. Well, that's good news on the road rage incident.
Absolutely.
That's customer service. It
Yeah.
really is.
Yes. Thank you for talking to that person.
That's what we're here for. And I encourage everybody when, the saying kind of gets old, see something, say something, call 911 and let us know, because that's the only way that we know. We only know what we know. And then when people are doing that, we have no problem going and knocking on their door and speaking with them.
Terrific. Any more questions from the board?
Nope.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
We need to take public comment on that.
Oh, thanks for reminding me. Let's open the public safety reports up for public comment.
If you are online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come to the podium. There's none online.
Okay, none in the boardroom. All right, we will start with a review of the Los Osos Emergency Operations Plan.
Yes, thank you very much. This is something that's been in the works for quite a while. A little bit of background on it. We started developing this back after the storms of January 2023. We just understood, and I know the board was aware of some of the lack of response we received from outside. We felt we needed to have something more organized in the way that the district responded. So that's where this began. It still needs a little bit of work, but I wanted to roll it out because we wanted to talk about the South Bay Community Center as well. But I thought this would be a good preview for the board, and it'll definitely be back to you at some point for adoption. A key piece of the plan calls for the South Bay Community Center to be designated as the evacuation center. As you remember, back in January 2023, power was out in Los Osos. We wanted to open the center up. We had approval from one of their board members, but there was no power. So that really kind of made any people, mainly the Vista de Oro neighborhood, but there was others that were impacted by the storms as well, would have to go somewhere else or figure it out on their own. The center has been recently incorporated by the county into their list of centers, evacuation centers. But this then posed the question of that, you know, it still lacks backup generation. There has a working group started working on this in terms of trying to figure out what kind of backup generation could we have, the design of that type of generation system, and then mainly the big is the funding for that. Two options were considered, natural gas electricity generation system and solar power with backup batteries. Now, there's pros and cons to both, but after careful consideration, you know, when you throw in the economic value of the solar and backup, that came out on top in terms of what we felt would work best for the center. And the design of the solar has a connection for a gas generator, either natural gas or regular gas generation, which could then be used to back up or charge the battery, which is a shorter period of time and you're not just constantly running. Because when you have backup generation from either a gas generator or natural gas, if they're not run consistently, they have problems. And so there's a lot of maintenance and, you know, they're kind of sitting there not doing anything for, you know, months and months and months. So anyway,
in this marine environment.
Yeah. And so anyway, those were the considerations. The cost of the installation and the equipment is between $55,000 to $75,000. And the range depends on whether there would be the incentive money that's available till the end of this year available or the outright purchase. The group is leaning towards purchase just because of the nature of having a third-party agreement. You own it, and then you get all the benefits from it from the day one that it starts operation. So we're working on the funding sources. You know, the community center, I shouldn't say will provide, they haven't approved it, but the talk is for the community center to provide $10,000. People Helping People has really stepped up. They're offering to pitch in $15,000. And People Helping People, Richard and others, are out pounding the streets looking for other alternative funding sources or outside funding sources like service clubs, private donations. So it appears we're getting some traction. Richard's getting some traction on that part. So we're not sure what that final piece looks like in the gap for funding. So we're suggesting, staff is suggesting that we participate because of the importance of the facility. And it's been, you know, now almost going on 3 years, and we haven't been able to get the center with backup generation. And we just feel it's very important to the community. Staff would like the board to commit to contributing up to $35,000. That would depend on the how the fundraising goes on the other side. And that we use unassigned cash from Fund 301 for those activities. Emergency services did look at this at their last meeting and were supportive and would recommend to the board to approve funding at the levels that we're presenting tonight. And then the other things, like I said, you know, solar power provide electricity plus backup generation have an economic value, and then the estimated costs. We'll get back to the recommendation, but are there any questions about this before we move on?
So if they do the direct purchase, are they able to get the tax benefit?
No, it's not available to nonprofits.
Oh, that's why I thought they had to use a third party. Are they trying to avoid the third party, or is that not working?
If you don't mind, I'd like, you know, if Richard could come up, because he's been heavily involved.
Oh, okay.
Would really help answer that question.
Thank you.
I'll just do it, my whole public comment here on it and give you some background on the funding too. If we go the other direction, we actually don't own it for 6 years. We want the benefits of the generation right from the start. We'll forego the tax credit thing. We've got 15,000 from people helping people, probably 10 that just hasn't been approved by the community center through an agreement they're going to have with people helping people. 2,200 was raised through the three concerts that they did last year. The community center did three concerts and they designated the proceeds from that to this. Deborah Howe is going to be talking to Supervisor Gibson to see if he can give something out of his community funds, you know, $1,000 or whatever. At the BMC meeting today, after it was over, I approached Mark Zimmer, who is always up for this, and he had heard about the project. He wants me to send him, you know, what it's all about on our letterhead, and he said he will turn it around within 2-3 weeks. So we're getting something from them.
That's Golden State Water.
Golden State Water, sorry. You know, sorry, Golden State Water. There's been talk amongst Rotary and Kiwanis that they may be able to do something. Theirs are usually in the $1,000 range, $1,500 range, whatever, everything cobbled together. And then we have People Helping People has an anonymous donor, I guess, who is I'll just cut to the chase. At the end of the year, sometime the 1st of December, is cutting a check for a specific project at the community center. And I'm the one that is making the recommendation to him on what that should be used for. And I told him about the solar project, and he said, absolutely. You know, when you get the check, put it to the solar project. And that one, that's going to be more than $1,000. This gentleman's got money. So what Ron and I were talking about is, I think that's why the staff report says up to 35, whatever we can cobble together. If it's not 35, it ends up being 27 or whatever. You guys will be the last ones in after we've cobbled everything else together. But we really would like to get this off the ground by the end of the year. So any other questions?
I have lots of technical questions.
That's him.
I'm not sure if we're going to go over any more detail on it, but I'm real curious about what you're planning on powering and for how long, who's designing the system, how much solar it needs versus can the batteries, how many batteries are you buying? So, because that's going to depend on how long it lasts without having charge coming in.
And it's also
questions that
I can provide you all that information. We have the design. What's the name of the company? They're over in Morro Bay.
Yeah. So there'll be six. We do know there's going to be six batteries. They'll be on the north side of the building. There's 32 panels on the roof, 28, 32, something like that.
It was designed to match the load for the center.
It'll power everything at the center.
And how long will the batteries last?
Well, that's where the generation, the generator will come in to for backup to recharge the battery. So we would be able to keep it going. Sorry, portable generator to keep it going as long as we needed to keep it going.
Okay. So part of it is also buying a generator?
Yeah, but that's not part of this project. That'll get, we've got somebody who's probably going to fund that separately. And we're talking, even Mark at Golden State said they have one that they would make available to us if we needed it in an emergency like that.
Because the idea would be, because, you know, solar, it's variable. If you have, who knows, 2 weeks of no sun. Well,
if we have a storm.
Well, storms, you know.
And lots of clouds, we're not going to have a lot of solar generation.
Yeah, but six batteries, you're going to have quite a bit of time on that. But
so, I mean, those are all the things that I'm curious about, because you put in a natural gas generator and it truly is going to power you.
Yeah, but there's a lot of maintenance there, and there's no ongoing economic value of it. But that's why having a connector and two...
So putting solar on the community center, I think, is one project. But, like, the true backup here, that's the part that I'm trying to understand.
That's the battery backup.
And how long do those... Are those batteries... Should they get you through the night, or?
Oh, for sure.
It could go probably for a few days.
Okay.
Yeah. So you know, there's always a little bit of solar being generated.
Okay. Yeah. You know, anyways, those things are all kind of important. And like, what is our standard, or like, what are we trying to? We're trying to have this be a place that people can stay when power's out for how? Like, what duration are we trying to achieve here?
I think the idea with the generator recharging the batteries is pretty much as long as we need it.
Right. See, with this auxiliary backup to the backup,
you
charge the batteries backup. You don't run the generator to power the building.
You run the generator to power the batteries.
During the day.
Yeah. Or anything.
Power the lights.
And the gentleman from, what's the gentleman's name from emergency services? Tom.
Tom Tingen. He's on ESAC.
And he put this all, his career was PG&E. He put this all together.
Okay. So we think that it's going to be something that's going to be robust enough to handle multiple days of.
People wouldn't be participating if it wasn't because we, on top of everything else, we have all our refrigerators there for the food giveaway, and we would need those powered to provide food. Sure. You know, if people were at the center. So, you know, that was one of our first concerns early. Is this, like you're asking, is this going to sustain for a period of time?
Yeah, it seems like it's an important piece to just get right, because we only have one here, basically.
Right.
Okay.
Any other questions about the funding or anything? Or no?
You know a lot of angels.
We try. Ron's been helpful, too.
Good questions. And if you're curious about the design, I have all that information in my office.
Yeah, it'd be helpful, I think, to kind of let everybody know what we're going to be providing, essentially.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we gave it a lot of thought. And the first inclination was to go with natural gas. But even Bob Newman, who's a retired fire chief, works for Cal Fire now, he doesn't like those natural gas. He says they have issues and they are not reliable. So that was his opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then as Richard indicated, Mark Zimmer even offered portable generators if we need those for the backup, or you know, to charge the batteries, backup batteries. So there's general support.
Okay, can we talk? Is it okay to talk about the operations plan?
Yeah, that's coming up next.
Okay.
So I did want to acknowledge the team that helped develop this. Bob Newman was very instrumental. He has a consulting business that actually does a lot of this. So he was very helpful in organizing us. Chuck was on it, Andy Luker, Richard, and of course myself. And it took quite a while, several months. I'm just going to go on a broad base over the sections of the plan. If there's specific questions, I can try to answer those. If I can't answer them tonight, we'll definitely have those answered before we try to adopt. So, of course, there's the introduction, which states the purpose and the objectives of the plan, includes a subsection on coordination. The planning basin, this section describes the district and community and outlines the various hazards, you know, types of hazards that we have. That could be, you know, earthquakes, wildfire, flooding, and more. There's kind of quite a list of things in there. The concepts of operation, this outlines the concepts which the district will respond to emergencies. And it also always will depend on the type and the magnitude of the situation. You don't need to throw a whole lot of firepower if it's something minor, of course. But the basic elements of response and mutual aid concepts are similar. And so, you know, there's some repetitiveness in there on how we respond. The emergency management, in my opinion, this is one of the key sections of the plan. Describes the coordination from agencies, utilities, and volunteer groups like Red Cross. Describes the management system, emergency management system that will be utilized and the roles of the various agencies during an incident. But we also wanted to include something since we didn't really have any of those agencies respond to us in January of 2023. We wanted to have a section or part of that, the section that talks to what if no one shows up and how we would activate our EOC Emergency Operations Center and respond. Emergency resources, again, you know, this subsection references the equipment, supplies, and the importance of the volunteer organizations and facilities needed. And this is where it talks to the South Bay Community Center as a designated evacuation center. And, you know, this was where the group we kept coming back to, we need emergency generation. And so it's just taken us quite a while to get enough momentum to where we are tonight or today. And then that, you know, the county did send a memorandum of understanding to the center, which the board of directors signed designating it as on the list of evacuation centers. Program maintenance, this just talks about an annual review of the plan and the training needs, because there are quite a few things in there that, you know, and including board members and staff that will help implement this plan. And then support materials, this section has a list of local volunteer organizations. This is like Rotary, Kiwanis, People Helping People that can be mobilized as they were pretty much during the Vista de Oro disaster, but that was done in a, well, I'll call it an organic manner. It just kind of happened with, you know, support Los Osos, social media, and other things. Like I said, once we finalize the plan, you know, any feedback we received tonight, we can talk to that, and I will bring it back soon for adoption. Because this is one of the sections in the Emergency Services Strategic Plan that is waiting for this to be adopted and for us to get the financial section done, which is part of the special fire tax conversation we'll be having hopefully soon, if we can resolve some of the issues with or information we received from CAL FIRE. So with that, questions?
Here.
All right, I'm seeing none from the board.
Oh, I have some.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm curious about a couple of, well, I have a couple of comments. I think in general there's a lot of acronyms. It'd be good to have a spot that defines those acronyms where you can just get to it instead of searching through. For instance, a task, one of the first tasks on all of the events is AA/LOFR to county EOC.
Right.
I'm not sure what an AA or LOFR is, but anyways, I think that would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
In general, when I was reading through it, I think this is a really good start. I think there's a lot of details here though, mm-hmm. That are kind of missing that I was hoping to see. One thing in particular is communication.
Mm-hmm.
that was a serious issue with Vista de Oro, and having like a phone tree or like a designated way that information is going to be disseminated to these critical people and the board, I think is very important. And I also think if there's you know, something in here that takes out cell service, that there needs to be some way of making sure everybody comes to a certain place. So then everything can be organized from there. So I think communication in here is largely silent, and I think we need to robustly look into that. One thing that Rich brought up pretty recently, and I think we brought up after Vista Doro, was in and around identification for these folks and for the board. I know that was a major issue, just trying to get up the road with the sheriff and public works blocking it, trying to convince them that we should be up there, basically. So I want to see some sort of way to identify that this board, general managers, our water staff pretty much have logos on everything, so that works out pretty well. The other piece that I noted was, I think it's in Mike equipment / materials. We talked about GM to coordinate that, but I think that we need to have PP&E available and ready. For instance, like high vis rain gear was a big issue at the last piece of it.
But would this be for volunteers?
Or? Well, if you're asking some of these folks, like yourself, our water system managers, crew leaders, board president, to go and be part of it, I think that they need to have the proper PP&E to go be.
Yeah, the crew does, but I see what you mean for others.
Yeah, like rain gear, that's high visibility,
right.
Identified, potentially hard hats, gloves, safety glasses, those kinds of things, flashlights. All of those kinds of things I think are really important that we have lined up, ready to go. I missed that spot, but it was like in there's a spot in there for equipment and materials right there, section 5A.
Right.
And I really like to see, like, you have that part in there about training, and that's something we had talked about, a few years back, but basically, having ICS training for pretty much everyone involved,
right,
is pretty critical.
Right.
So is that something the county does? Do they do tabletop drills, or is that through fire, or do we do that separately?
We'd probably do it separately. I think we'd have to look into, the resources for that, but I know they're out there because I've gone through the training several different times with different agencies.
And you get the little book.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'm glad you put that piece there. The group put that piece in there because, right, I think that training is really important.
Yes. Anything else? Good comments.
No, that's just in general, that's what I've had from our experience and then just going through this. But yeah, I really appreciate this getting put together. It's a really great basis to keep working from. Is there like a timeline that we're aiming for to have this finalized?
Probably a year ago.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking, but yeah, it's important. And so I do want to get this completed. Okay. I wish it was completed now and that we had the training set up, all that kind of thing. Yeah. But it is a priority for me to get this done so we can plug it into the emergency services strategic plan, have it adopted, probably look at some funding out of the budget. If not this fiscal year, ask for, mid-year stuff or for next fiscal year.
Yeah. Is there any disaster prep grants out there to help organizations?
Unfortunately not.
CERT's up and running again, though. There's time.
Yeah, CERT's training again. You know, Bob Newman had led that effort for many, many years and finally decided it was time to back out. But an individual has taken that back up, and they're using the center for training or for the trainings, right, Richard? Yeah. So there is some training available to the community members. CERT's typically, it could help us in response, but typically that's for individual and like neighborhood type assistance for people that are around where you live.
Yeah.
That's a good network to tap into.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Great questions.
Any further questions? All right. Let me open up this item for public comment.
If you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, come to the podium. There is no public comment online.
All right. And none in the boardroom. Okay, I'll bring it back to the board.
Everyone make a motion?
Someone.
All right. I move the board approve funding up to $35,000 from Fund 301 unassigned cash to support the purchase and installation of a solar system to be used for backup electric generation at the South Bay Community Center during emergency evacuation events.
I'll second it.
Thank you. All right. Do we need a roll call? Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. And what I'll do is I wanted this up to, if it looks like the board timing is working, I'll definitely bring it to the board. If, you know, I just don't want to hold up the project. If it's installed after what the, I'll bring that back to the board too and just let you know what amount of money we actually spent.
Yeah, sounds good. It's been long enough.
Mm-hmm.
All right, excellent. All right. Approval of the third amendment to the general manager's contract regarding sick leave accrual.
And I'm going to recuse myself from this and
is Craig going to help us?
I'll step away.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Excuse me, President, members of the board. This is a relatively simple amendment to the general manager's employment agreement. It only pertains to one topic, which is the accrual of sick leave. As you know, the district allows employees to accrue a certain amount of sick leave. Then that sick leave, if unused, can be either cashed out at various times for 50% on the dollar, or applied to purchase service time from CalPERS. So in the general manager's contract, currently there is a 96-hour limit on the accrual of sick leave, and he has asked that the board consider removing that 96 hours a year, the 200-hour cap on the accrual of sick leave. And he's asked that 200-hour cap be removed from his contract so that he can accrue more sick leave and ultimately, if unused, use it in either of those two ways that I've mentioned. The exact fiscal impact on the district is tough to estimate because it could be used, the sick leave could be used in a variety of different ways. His rate of pay is $98 an hour. But it could be 50%, it could be 100%. And even if it's 100% used for the CalPERS service credit, that's over time. It's not an immediate cash payment from the district. So that's the sole change to his contract that he's requesting. The Brown Act requires that any change to compensation for an executive be considered and approved in an open meeting. And this is the open meeting for the board to consider that particular amendment. And if the board is so inclined, staff recommends approving the amendment that's in your staff packet. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions from the board?
So we're going to do away with the 200-hour cap, and there won't be a cap. He would accrue as much as he accrued until he retires.
Correct. He'll still be subject to the amount he can accrue each year.
Right.
There's not the overall cap.
Okay.
or would not be the overall 200-hour cap.
Do we know how much does he have now accrued?
Under 200.
I don't know the amount that he has accrued now.
Would you like me to speak to that?
Yes, if you know the answer, yes.
605 hours.
Oh. Oh, so he's well beyond the cap.
We haven't been holding the cap.
He can only cash out 200 hours. So that's the cap is on the amount that can be cashed out.
Okay.
In any given year?
Yes.
Okay. So you could do 200 one year and 200 the next.
But what he's requesting is to just remove the 200.
Right. So there's no cap.
So there's
All the 600 would be covered. Right.
Okay. Any other board questions?
No, that answers the exact question I was going to ask too.
Oh. All right. Good. All right. Let me open this item for public comment.
If you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come to the podium. There is no public comment online.
Thanks, Laura.
Richard Margetson. I know this is a minor amendment to his contract, but you all know this, how fortunate we are to have this gentleman. For those of you who haven't been here for these meetings for the last 25 years, Margaret, we've had some managers that walked away with substantial severance pays, did nothing for the district, caused the district issues. He should have been hired the first time he applied, and that wasn't this board. He should have been here 11 years ago. He's going to be sorely missed when he does say it's time. And I know he's talking about transitioning out, which is, I think, shows his character and his love for this community as opposed to just setting a drop-down date and walking away. So I know you guys are going to approve this, but I just wanted to reiterate my appreciation and for his professionalism and everything he's done for this community, everything he's done to help other facets of this community. He's been a resource to me with things that we've been doing at the center and people helping people. And you will miss him when he's gone.
Thank you. I'm glad you came up to say that. Okay, I bring this item back to the board.
I suggest an amendment, one more amendment to the contract, and that is that Mr. Margetson washes Mr. Munn's car every Saturday. And I would be willing to alternate Saturdays with him, actually. Yes.
Okay. Moving on.
I withdraw that motion, Dave. No, I move that the board approve. Are we through with public comment?
Yes.
Did we have any online?
I brought it back to the board.
Okay. Yeah, you did.
But good. Thank you for checking.
No, we don't want to take away someone's opportunity to tell us what they think of Mr. Munns, because we know it's good. I move that the board approve the third amendment to the general manager's contract.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Get Mr. Munns back?
Yes.
Thank you, Craig.
Yes.
Which is impressive because there's only four of us.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you.
I get two votes. Okay. Consider San Luis Obispo Local Agency Formation Commission, LAFCO, election ballot for special district alternative member. We have the statements and our materials.
Right. And, you know, we weighed in on the regular position. We had a person actually come to our meeting via Zoom. These three individuals, I really don't know anything about. I know Justin Smith a little bit. He worked for the county in Public Works Water up in the Cayucas area. So I thought it'd be interesting to see, you know, other than what you've read, that the current special district, you know, we already have a Napomo person. We have someone from North County, and there's then this alternate vacant. And so my only pitch I'd probably do here is, at least if we go with someone from Cayucas, it's someone that understands the coastal area. Otherwise, I think they're all qualified. And so I know Chris and I talked a bit about it at the BMC, and I go, yeah, it's really whatever the board thinks and feels. You know, I just want to be supportive of LAFCO because they have been very supportive of us as well. So that's why we felt strongly of bringing this.
Thanks. And I wanted to ask Chuck, do you know any of them? Do you have an opinion?
No, I do not. To me, I was looking at Mr. Smith.
Can you turn your microphone on, Chuck? Thank you.
Oh, okay. Mr. Smith and Mr. Joyce both seem to have some qualifications working with government issues and water agencies and that kind of thing. But I do like the idea of not concentrating certain districts on LAFCO, which would be doing with Napomo.
Right, because, yeah, Mr. Joyce does seem very qualified.
Yeah, it does. But they've already got someone there. And it is kind of nice, I think, to have a variety of people representing on LAFCO.
Thank you. I was wanting your opinion.
Yeah. So that was the exact same conclusion I came to. I like John. I like Justin. I think having someone from the coast would be a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
You want to weigh in?
I'm fine with that if we go with Justin Smith.
Okay, so do we make a motion?
Yes. Public comment first.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Thank you, Laura. I'll open this item up for public comment. Is anyone there like willing to speak like last time? That was really handy.
Yeah. Well, not this time.
Virtually not.
If you're online and you want to make a public comment, please raise your hand. There is no public comment online.
Okay, then I'll bring it back to the committee. To the board.
I have one quick question regarding the wording of the motion. It says board casts votes. Does that mean... How many votes do we have as the Los Angeles CSA?
Just one. Right. I think votes.
That was my mistake. I apologize.
It's all good. Just wanted to make sure.
Oh, that's a Marshall thing. Oh, you're taking over Marshall's job with the grammar.
Someone has to.
Should I be happy about that or scared?
What's that?
Should I be happy or scared about that?
It serves a purpose.
Okay. Yes. Fantastic.
It's not a job for me. So thank you.
You're very welcome. Well, in that case, I move that the board cast a vote for
what are the names of
Justin T. Smith, I believe.
For Justin T. Smith for the LAFCO alternate seat term through December 2030 and direct staff to submit the official ballot documentation to LAFCO.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And thank you for the expert toggling back and forth. Okay. Wonderful. So we are on. We'll now take public comments for items not on the agenda.
If you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come to the podium. There's no public comment online.
Richard Margetson, for those of you who were not at the BMC today, wow. Probably should watch the rerun if possible. Gibson went back to his usual spin factory. He's not going to vote for this. We can already tell. Takes four votes. He basically said the new transient model is flawed. It's inaccurate. I don't even know if that was where he used a word that he just wasn't going to accept it. Not flawed.
No, it wasn't flawed.
It was accurate. Inaccurate or something. And had all kinds of questions that he never brought up when the steady state model was introduced and the basin yield was 2760. Now, all of a sudden, they had to get a separate county peer review when there was another peer review. And They brought in extra experts to ask questions and come up with additional conclusions. And his basic conclusion to the committee was that he doesn't believe that we have enough information. Again, this is the gentleman that goes everywhere when there's something he wants and says, oh, we're using most current information available. Now we have most current information available, and he doesn't want to use it. So, sorry. He wants to go back to where we were. There's a meeting on the 15th. I will be personally surprised if that meeting takes place, because they need all four members to vote to change the sustainable yield. And the growth, this has to get to the county so they can agendize it as part of the discussion on the growth management ordinance in November. So a vote can be taken on that in December, the usual December surprises. It was unbelievable. Chuck and I have gone through it many times with Mr. Gibson. I personally believe that he's indebted to certain faction of this community, and he's going to go down swinging with it as on his way out in his last term. With my last 51 seconds, I'm going to completely change subjects and just remind Chuck and Ron that 7 weeks from this last Monday is the start of bell ringing season. And 10 weeks from Saturday is needs and wishes. And I have a feeling needs and wishes this year is going to be big. The silent auction items that are already rolling in has been incredible. So it's the 20th year. We're $2,500 from going over $1 million raised. This is the big one. And the response so far early has been very good. December 13th, all day at the center. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Did I miss Oktoberfest?
Okay. Any other public comment?
There is none online.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Administrative, did you want to say something about Oktoberfest?
No.
It'll get in there.
We're just the holiday.
It's in there. Okay.
Where it just seemed like they were kind of barely on the horizon, and yeah, I got to go get my Santa hat.
Okay, administrative and committee reports. I think we start with the general manager report.
Yes, I just have a couple of things here. I did want to provide a brief update on the Sunnyside School acquisition project. There was a second town hall meeting held on September 20th. About 120 people attended, including the two District 2 supervisor candidates. So they're showing interest in Los Osos. I have talked to one of the supervisor candidates already and have coffee with the other tomorrow morning. So I'm glad to see they're reaching out. They want to know what's going on in Los Osos. The citizens working group continues to work on the ballot initiative and other tasks. So everything is moving forward. We'll have a closed session this evening to talk about some of the other aspects of that project. I mentioned the LAFCO Municipal Service Review and Sphere Influence Study. It was adopted by the commissioners, LAFCO commissioners. They were very complimentary of the district's finances and very interested in our water systems, what's going on with our water supply. So did have to speak quite a bit and explain a very complicated issue in a very concise and short way. And then finally, I've been remiss. I haven't really been keeping up on celebrating the employee anniversaries. So Laura put together our big list here. So I wanted to recognize them all. All of these people are amazing, dedicated people to the district. And I just want to, a big thank you to all of them.
Do we have a new staff member?
Our most recent one is right at the bottom there, Mitchell Rick. Oh. As part of the water crew, but he's been here a year.
Okay.
I have a quick question, Ron, about 10th Street Tank. Could you remind us what's going on? It has like that band
Oh, that's a new look.
with the bare metal that's getting rusty.
I have to say, in the 6 years of in all the projects we've done during that 6 years, we have the worst contractor we've ever had. And so we've been having a lot of issues. Fortunately, our team, Will Bellis, I don't know if you folks are familiar with Will. He's a tank specialist that's been in the county for many, many years, been part of our projects for many, many years. He has been holding steady on making sure the contractor is providing the best work possible. So we've just had delays. So what happened, they proceeded with taking off. They're going to have to, when they do some interior coating, they're going to be sandblasting. There's going to be some work that has to be done on that seam at the top. So they took the paint off in anticipation of it being repainted. And we've had a delay. And so now it's going to have to be resanded and brought down to bare metal.
Okay, but they're still working on it, or they're out and we're finding somebody new.
No, we're working on it.
Got it.
All right. Thanks for that update. All right. Any other questions, or is that the end of the report?
Yes,
Okay. All righty. All right, it says LOCAC written in verbal. Did you have something to say about LOCAC? I attended and I wrote a report.
Yes. Well, I think it says written and verbal.
Right, I didn't have a verbal report.
So you don't need to
Okay, then I won't.
tell people to read your report.
Yeah, I sent it out like 2 minutes after the meeting. Oh, one thing I thought was interesting is they're going to use AI to summarize the meetings. And they're going to double check to make sure it's, really what happened, but that it should make it easier if you want to try to, like, if you go to a meeting and then years later you're trying to remember which meetings discuss what, that they will have a summary. And I thought that was a pretty good use of AI. So I look forward to that. Just copy that for my report next time. All right, no parks and rec, utilities advisory.
We met and went over the usual items, just updates on programs and projects and that kind of thing. Nothing unusual. We talked about the upcoming BMC meeting and the sustainable yield number that was so much fun to talk about today. And that was about it.
Okay.
Yeah, no special items on that one.
Excellent. All right. Finance. Tom took over for me, so.
Very standard meeting. The committee recommended approval of the financials and recommended approval of the warrant registers.
Excellent.
That's everything, right?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, unless something else sticks out, that's
No.
great.
Wonderfully standard meeting.
Okay. Let's see. There's no ESAC. Basin management. We kind of discussed that, or well.
We did basically on the there were two items that we talked about today. One was response to questions that had been asked of Spencer Harris last time he was at our meeting. And then the first item was a discussion about the methodology that went into the transient model sustainable yield estimate and that kind of thing. A lot of talk about how the baseline scenario memo that was put out about a couple months ago that talked about the current pumping levels and spatial distribution, which is 1,830 acre feet a year, would not stop saltwater intrusion. And yet the new estimated sustainable yield number was 2,020 acre feet per year. And the questions all kind of revolved around how do we make that jump? And that is the new well coming on, Bay Oaks Well, some of the recycled water use, and just changes to pumping schedules and that kind of thing. And again, that's an estimate of what we can do. And as Mark kept reminding us, all it takes is one little electron from hell, and there goes your circuit board, and you're not using that well for a while, and there goes your operations plan. But it's the best we have, and that number at 2020, October 15th, I expect will be adopted by, I expect three of the four to vote for that.
Hmm.
We'll see where it goes from there.
All right. Any questions for Chuck? All right. Let's see. Director's announcements of district and community interest and reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars. Do you have anything? Probably not this time around. And I don't believe we have previously asked questions.
None.
Does anyone want to pull anything from the consent agenda? Okay. And then we will take public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda.
If you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come to the podium. There is no public comment online.
Thank you. We have one in the boardroom.
Get another bite at this. Richard Margetson, the BMC. Another thing Britt Gibson brought up was he reminded the purveyors that it's their responsibility for managing the basin and blah, blah, blah. And members of the public and members of the board also said, well, the county has some responsibility here too. And there was partial discussion about the extractors outside of the purveyor control, you know, the wells and the ag, and that, and Chuck brought up that there needs to be in maybe some gentle outreach. Counties always kind of portrayed that segment as, you know, the rogue element that doesn't want to help and doesn't want to, well, that's baloney. I have clients out there. I know people out there. They want the basin to survive. It's important to them too. I mean, they have a well. There's people on the other side of South Bay and the acre properties that are conserving water and putting a waste basket in their shower, and you know, they're doing that kind of stuff. But if the county wants to do something, you know, maybe help participate in something like that. But also listen to the community. He will not listen to the purveyors. He will not listen to the community. And he constantly is reminded, it's not his basin. It's the three purveyors' basin and the well extractor's basin. It's not the county's basin. So when that vote ends up 3-1, which I anticipate it to be, if you guys are sending a letter, there's already talk of people going to the Board of Supervisors and reading that letter in public comment one after another, just repeating the letter or excerpts from the reports one after another. It may be time to put the pressure on at the Board of Supervisors, because I'm still going to be surprised if a meeting's held on the 15th, but if it is, I would put a bet in Vegas that he's going to vote against it. If you had seen what happened today and his stance on everything, he's going to vote against it.
All right, thank you. I'm closing public comment. All right. Yes, please.
One quick question. Item F, staff services analyst. Is that a new hire?
Yes, up at the fire department.
Okay. That's what.
That's what we thought. Like, there's a new person.
Yeah. Right. That a new person. Position's been vacant for several years, and they
finally
filled it.
Okay.
Okay.
Roll call. You'll need a roll call.
I move that the board receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
We are going to need a roll call.
And now we need a second.
I'll second that.
Now we need a roll call.
And then
Vice President Forcry.
Yes.
Director Cross.
Yes.
Director Sesenya.
Yes.
President Womack.
Yes. All right. We did it. Yay.
Yeah.
Okay. No pulled items. Future agenda items.
Bring back that emergency response plan.
Okay. Do we have any closing board comments?
One, I'm always working on the drivers. This time, there's probably not any kids watching, the age I would like to address, but parents, these e-bicycles, make sure you train your kids very, very well. Stop signs apply to them too. I know they're in a hurry to get to school because they're having so much fun. But let's be cautious everywhere. The new e-bikes are starting to scare me, and because they're almost as fast as a car, but not quite. And let's all be safe. That's it.
Yeah, no, I've seen them too. I know what you're saying. So I'm going to bring up the Oktoberfest because they have a fun run, and it is a fundraiser for Morro Bay Cross Country. So I hope people participate, and my kids in Morro Bay Cross Country. So I have an interest. So
can't you just buy a t-shirt even? You don't even have to do the 4 mile run.
You know what I miss is they used to have these little running bear pins. So all right. Any other closing comments?
None here.
And all right, we're going to have a closed session, a conference with real property negotiator pursuant government code 54956.8. So I guess we'll adjourn and we'll.
Can I take public comment first?
Yeah, okay. We'll take public comment on the closed session.
If you're online and you'd like to make a public comment, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come to the podium. There's no public comment online.
Everybody's gone now. Okay, we're adjourned. Or, well, for closed session. Adjourned to closed session.